every day on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1300 872 911.
Oh, this is terrific timing. I've just looked up at my screen, and this is very interesting indeed. We've got the chair of the Export Council of Australia on the line. Her name is Diane Tipping, and her experience is vast. She's just the person we need to talk to put into context just how damaging these developments in China are. Now, it says here, Diane has a long and varied career in international trade promotion and facilitation, founder and managing director, Excon International, an export management consultancy business focusing on the management of exports and international projects on behalf of Australian exporters throughout the world. This is perfect timing. Diane, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, John. Thank you.
Diane, if we can talk in language we can all relate to, if you can put into context for us exactly the impact on our national economy and on fundamentally traders here in Australia of these developments in China.
Certainly. We need to think about the product range that currently is are having issues in getting into the Chinese market. And this started basically with barley. But the current topic is wine, which we all enjoy, I'm sure. If we look at what we sold last year to China, it was $1.26 billion worth of wine just in that one-year period. So you can imagine with the introduction of tariffs, which are being applied to our wine going into China, up to 200%, and I think Treasury Wine quite clearly said that they were told that they're going to get a tariff duty of 167% on the value of their wine as it goes across the border. That really will see the wine industry plummet from Australia into China going forward.
Precisely. Of course, there are various other matters as well. Other producers are going to be impacted. We won't go into that now. I think what is on the mind of most people in Australia who are concerned about these developments, and that's the vast majority, I think, of Australians, we've got to find other markets. Now, you have your finger on the pulse of what markets there may be available in the next year or 2 years. How do we find out who are more likely than others to actually want to take some of these trade items on board to replace what we're losing out of China?
Well, I think, John, we have to consider firstly that, and I agree with you, we need to expand and diversify. But firstly, we need to look at the in context of what we actually do with China. So, you know, our relationship with China has been mutually beneficial. We export around 39% of our export products to China, and we import around about 22% back into Australia of goods. So that equates to $150 billion of exports for Australia into China, and we import about $81 billion. So the balance there is quite good for us. But we need to find, I don't think really we will find anyone in the short term that can cover that 39% of trade that we do around the world in one country. So, or doing to China in one country. So we have to look at being very, very diversified here, and we have to look at many markets. And if I can just really go forward with what the Australian government has done really well this year, and they've done a lot of things well, you know, to get the exporters through COVID. But one of the things that they've really done well is we've got a few new FTAs, free trade agreements, particularly one that was signed only a couple of weeks ago, and will take a little while to come into force, but the RCEP agreement is with 14 countries, taking away Australia, it's 13 countries, countries that we can really sell our product to and really do well, and we need to think about that. We also have coming up two new agreements that are being negotiated that hopefully will come into play next year. That's the UK-Australia Free Trade Agreement and the EU-Australia Free Trade Agreement. There's many opportunities out there with the current 14 free trade agreements we have with 22 countries. So there's lots of countries. We need to now work out our plans on how we're going to do that.
I think the figure you gave of a trade between Australia and China into Australia was, $77 billion. But Australia to China was $122 billion. Is that the figure?
$150 billion.
$150 billion, my God.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's a hell of a... This is going to be a hellishly steep challenge, isn't it, if indeed things continue to go downhill like they are at the moment?
Well, yes, the situation is quite serious, and it's regrettable that we're in this situation. And there's a substantial risk to trade in general, but we do have to not sit back and just think, okay, it'll sort itself out in a day or so. This is going to take a while to sort out. It will sort out, I'm sure. And I think that we also have to take into account in those figures the educational sector and the tourism sector as well, not just goods. That there's a massive, you know, result of this coming back to Australia in the long term as far as financial benefits.
I'm pleased you brought up this issue of tourism. Just the last couple of days, talking to people who rely on that Chinese sector coming into Cairns, of course, they have grave concerns. Do you believe that sector will be obliterated or reduced very harshly so that there'll be much less benefit with tourism coming into Australia and also as far as the student population is concerned?
Well, I mean, obviously, it's going to be the same effect that we have on our barley and our wine and all other products that go into China in that 39%. However, we shouldn't take away the fact that we have a beautiful country. We have a wonderful, weather and opportunities for people to enjoy a wonderful holiday here. So if we look at tourism, it's a matter of, and the Australian government has started to do that at the beginning of the year. You will recall they had a very strong campaign to go out and encourage tourism into Australia from everywhere in the world. But that will happen again. The issue currently, of course, is the flights and how we can do the incoming flights, which are now fairly and rightly, you know, concentrating on bringing expatriates and Australians back home.
Authoritarian governments like China, do they have the ability to be able to restrict or even ban travel by tourists out of China to a country like Australia?
Well, I'm not really okay with Chinese law in that respect, but I'd say there would be a lot of pressure for students not to choose Australia and for tourism to not be taken up as an Australian destination, Australia as a destination. Mm. But I did read very, very, very happily yesterday that there is a program into the Northern Territory at the moment with some Chinese students coming in that will go into quarantine and then go through to their students, where they're booked in to do their training and education.
Mm.
So I think there'll be a lot of people that from China that will want to come into Australia. It just depends on how that works for them. And I don't know that answer, to be honest.
Well, Diane, this has been really informative today. I really appreciate this. Thank you. If you don't mind, we'll stay in touch.
Please do. Have a great day.
That's Diane Tipping. She's the chair of the Export Council of Australia with the time now coming up.